Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off
First
the Ball.
World Cup Eve. 2010 is, I think, the final. Because I would have been 8 years old and I remember watching the final and my whole family was in the sitting room. And I think we were shouting for Spain.
You're the Vuvuzela generation.
Yeah.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
World Cup Daily on Off the Ball. With Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
Hello and welcome along to Monday's World Cup Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, Roberto Lopez features for Cape Verde, who are still unbeaten at their first World Cup. Spain get their first win of the tournament on the same day Egypt win their first ever World Cup match. Defending champions Argentina play today. And Shamrock Rovers can open up an 8-point lead at the top of the Premier Division. First up, Cape Verde impressed once again in their first ever World Cup. Shamrock Rovers captain Roberto Lopez was in central defence once again for their 2-2 draw with two-time champions Uruguay in Miami. Kevin Pina scored a free kick to put Cape Verde ahead with their first ever goal of the tournament, having drawn 0-0 with Spain in their Group H opener. Uruguay, who drew 1-1 with Saudi Arabia in their first game, scored twice before half-time. Max Araujo and Agustin Canobia scored the goals. Substitute Helio Varela equalised for the African side in the second half to keep their qualification hopes alive. A draw against Saudi Arabia in their last group game may be enough to advance to the last 32. Uruguay have to play Spain in their last group game. European champion Spain beat Saudi Arabia 4-0 in Atlanta. It took Lamine Yamal just 10 minutes to score his first World Cup goal after coming into the starting 11. Mikel Yarrasabal scored twice in the first half. The fourth goal was an own goal. Yamal was taken off at half-time with the win already wrapped up as he continues his recovery from a hamstring injury. Mo Salah scored for Egypt, who beat New Zealand 3-1 in Group G to get their first ever win at a World Cup.
It's a great feeling for all of us. It's a great achievement. I said before, we just do our best in the tournament to make the people happy in Egypt, and I think they are right now, they are happy. And what happened today is a history for us as Egyptians.
So Egypt are top of that group after Belgium drew 0-0 with Iran in the other game. Arsenal winger Leandro Trossard admits the Belgians were left frustrated by the result, despite having Nathan Ngoi sent off for 25 minutes to play.
We had many good chances, I think, to score goals, but we didn't in the end. And then with 10 men against 11, you know, you have to defend your box, and we did that well in the end, so it's a bit of mixed feelings, I would say.
Belgium play New Zealand in their final group game. Meanwhile, Iran left a handwritten note in their dressing room after the game with a message saying, "May peace, respect and friendship prevail among all nations." Iran are competing at the World Cup, while their country and the US are in negotiations to end their war. Several members of their backroom staff were denied entry visas for the US. The squad then switched their base for the World Cup from Arizona to Tijuana in Mexico, and they face strict travel restrictions. They have to fly into the US a day before they have a game and leave the country on the same day as a match. This evening at 6, defending champions Argentina will face Austria in Group J. All eyes will be on Lionel Messi once again after his stunning hat-trick against Algeria in the opening game. Messi, who'll be 39 on Wednesday, needs one more goal to overtake Miroslav Klose's all-time record of 16 World Cup goals. Austria also won their opening game in the group last week. The team Argentina beat in the final 4 years ago, France, will look to make it 2 wins from 2 in Group I. Didier Deschamps' side play Iraq at 10 o'clock tonight. Captain Kylian Mbappe stole the show against Senegal with 2 goals to take his tally to 58 international goals, making him France's all-time leading goal scorer. World Cup Daily and Off the Ball is brought to you by Lynx, proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026. Smell your best when you look your worst. Now, it looks like Scotland may have to face Brazil's Neymar in their Group C decider on Wednesday. Manager Carlo Ancelotti says the former Barcelona forward is fit to play. Scotland assistant coach Stephen Naismith says they can't get fixated on trying to stop one player when facing a team like Brazil.
He's one of those type of players that can do something himself and win a game. So you've got to guard yourself against that. But within their squad, they've got a fair few other attacking options that, and different styles that can hurt you just as much. You're loose in possession or you're loose with your structure, they will punish you without a doubt.
England striker Ollie Watkins says managing the fitness of the likes of Bukayo Saka will be key for the latter stages of the tournament. The Arsenal winger continues to recover from an Achilles injury ahead of tomorrow's second game against Ghana. Watkins says Saka's talent is clear to see.
I've only played with him a handful of times, but he's very unselfish and, you know, that's perfect. As a striker, someone who's always looking for you, and I feel like he makes always the right decision as a footballer. Whenever he receives the ball, you know he's going to always make the right decision, and I think that's the hardest thing to do in football.
David Snaid from the 42 is at the World Cup and joined John Duggan and Keith Tracy on Off the Ball Sunday. The three lads spoke about how much Irish fans are missing out with the absence of Ireland at this year's tournament in North America.
When I was in Boston, I got a serious sense of FOMO about it. Probably the worst idea I've ever had for an article was going to an Irish pub full of Scotland fans to watch England play in a World Cup game, and you're going there working and sober, and you're watching people, and you're like, oh my God! Like, if there's a serious point to be made on it from point of view of when you actually see what's happening, how much Ireland is missing out, not just about having the crack and having a party and, you know, all the viral stuff that goes with it, but just what it would have meant to be part of this tournament and what it would have meant to be part of a World Cup. Because the longer it goes, it's just concerning. It's really, really concerning, because being at the games and obviously the Czech, I was out for a meal after the first game in Mexico, and Czech were playing South Korea, and they actually had a match on in the restaurant, and I was just like, please turn it off. Like, my Prague PTSD has not been cured yet. Like, this.
Yeah, I think it says, Keith, like, we just have to qualify for these tournaments. And if there's not enough urgency in the FAI or the government or anybody who's got anything of power, whether it's like private people who can deliver money to Irish football, we got to be at these things, because it's just killing us not to be.
Yeah, it is. It really is heartbreaking what David is saying about, you know, the off-the-field stuff. The Scottish fans seem like they're stealing our thunder. I sit there watching all the plaudits they're getting, and I think that'd be us if we were there. But the one thing that really gets me, JD, is the standard of football. I think we'd have been okay. You know, when you look at Haiti and what the Czech Republic have done, I think we'd have, you know, picked up a couple of points and give a half-decent account of ourselves. Obviously, you know, we would have been in with Mexico. Mexico in Mexico would have been a very difficult prospect. But even like my seven-year-old pulled me this morning, JD, and said, I think Neymar's going to start for Brazil, Daddy, in the last game. And I thought, wouldn't that have been so much better if he's saying, how's Troy's Paris fitness, Daddy? And it just would have... I look at him and think, where's the Damien Duff? Where's the Damien Duff that lit a fire in me? And I know he's looking at Neymar, but Neymar's just somebody he sees on social media. If it had been an Irish international, I just feel like Teddy's missing out. I feel like there's a generation of Irish kids looking, thinking, we've never watched Ireland play in a World Cup or the Euros, but I think we're getting closer, JD. I think we're edging ever closer.
Meanwhile, on Football Saturday, John was in studio with former Pats and Cork City boss Tim Clancy and journalist Johnny Ward. John asked the question, should Ronaldo start the next Portugal match?
If Roberto Martinez wanted to drop him, does he have the guts to drop him?
How could he not, though, JD? Like, he's not. Is he going to be undroppable if he's 67 years of age? Like, you know, how old does he have to be?
It just feels to me that he can't be dropped.
Just two sides of it, right? The next game's huge for Portugal, right? Let's say he drops Ronaldo and they draw 0-0. So whoever replaced him, God love him, misses a chance or two. And then all of a sudden, is Ronaldo would have taken that in the big pressure moments. He's here so many times over the last 25 years. He's turned up, whatever else. You're in sort of a no-win situation.
I don't think so, Tim. Like, I think if he drops him now, I think the Portuguese football public understand that. Like, because he's such an imbalance in terms of his absolute inability to do any sort of press off the ball. Like, and I mean, the other night looked as bad as it's gotten for him. Like, I've been critical of Ronaldo for a long time, but to be fair for Man United, he was still sort of scoring goals. Like, he was one of the reasons we nearly got to the tournament. He was a disgrace in Dublin. Like, he really was. And that sort of, I'm not sure he really helps the overall sort of ethos of the team either when he's kind of just strolling around like that.
Just a breakdown there, because I'd say there's a massive imbalance in ego and everything else. He's the biggest figure in football since who, Ronaldo? Probably ever. If you're looking back, like,
you're talking about in what way?
His image for the whole of football, like, as a worldwide fame.
You say he's got a bigger image than Messi?
David Beckham massive. Seems to have even bigger.
But he's way bigger image than Messi in regards to, like, the global appeal and people that would know who he is.
Probably would, right? Yeah.
And because of what he looks like. He's 6'2" and he's better looking than Messi, whatever else. Messi's a far better footballer, don't be wrong. From the global aspect of it, Ronaldo is huge.
And is that why he's undroppable?
Is there part? I suppose is there part of that?
Part, I'd say there's a huge part of it.
It's just if Thomas Tuchel was managing Portugal,
he wouldn't even be in the squad.
And if you want to hear any of that back, you can do so now in your OTB Football podcast feed. Become a member and sign up at offtheball.com/join. Shamrock Rovers can open up an 8-point lead at the top of the Premier Division tonight. Rovers host Derry City at Tala Stadium from 8 o'clock. Derry have one win in 9, but Rovers boss Stephen Bradley expects the best version of Tiernan Lynch's side tonight.
They've got some top players and we know that. And you have to respect that and be ready for it, regardless of what the league tells you or what form tells you. We've got to be ready for the best area and we will be. You look at Friday, it's forced against bottom and it's 1-0 for large parts of the game. And while it's 1-0, Watford have some half chances from set players. So in this league, it's so competitive.
Before that game, there's a Dublin derby at Talca Park where Shelburne face Bohemians from 7:45. Bows have lost their last two games, but if they avoid defeat, they'd move back up to third place. Shells are unbeaten in 9 games. And Liverpool have rejected a verbal offer of €25 million from Inter for Curtis Jones. It's believed Liverpool value the 25-year-old at €40 million. Jones only has 1 year left on his current deal at Anfield. And it's the second time Inter have come in for the England international. That's about all we have time for in today's World Cup Daily. I'm Phil Egan and I'll be back with more tomorrow.
World Cup Daily on Off The Ball. With Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off
First
the Ball.
World Cup
2010 is, I think, the final. Because I would have been 8 years old and I remember watching the final and my whole family was in the sitting room. And I think we were shouting for Spain.
You're the Vuvuzela generation.
Yeah.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.